Good singing this morning. We're going to have to add on to the stage to fit the kids on it. That was awesome, wasn't it? See that crowd of kids? I got two passages I want to let you read from this morning to start with. The lesson is going to come from Exodus 33. But I want to read a passage from John 17 to begin. I can't speak for anybody in the room but myself. But it seems like when I get to this time of year, the cold weather, the rain, I just feel like I'm drugged down. Anybody feel that way? Just like, ah. And if I feel that way spiritually as well. Anybody talk to me? In the fall, Thanksgiving time, Christmas time, my spiritual life is usually on a skyrocket to the moon. But it seems like right now, it drags. You make some commitments in January, you know, getting ready for the new year, and you kind of start off pumped, but seems like it doesn't keep skyrocketing. Kind of planes off. Anybody can relate, or it was just like, was a sermon for me? What I want you to see is a practical lesson this morning. Practical. Not just some theological thing, but I want to talk to you practically today. Because I think what the world needs right now is some Christians who are happy to be Christians. And they need to see some real Christians, not some Sunday Christians. Real problems like everybody else, but still enduring. And we're going through the book of Acts downstairs in Sunday school, and what we're noticing so far by the time we got to chapter 5, the more they tried to kill the Christians, the more they spread. You ever notice that? You can't kill us. You can beat us, discourage us, talk about us, but it just seems like the more you try to stop it, the more it spreads. And I tell you why. Because there were some people that were truly committed to the cause. And they were willing to give their life for Christ. We live in a world where there's still people like that. But as we discussed in Sunday school today, most of us are not under the pressure. But I did allude to our class this way. Y'all tell me if I'm teaching them wrong down there. But I said maybe because we're not committed like we need to be, we're not having to draw the line like we should have to. See, when you really become a real Christian and draw the lines and say, I'm not going there, I'm not watching that, I'm not doing that, all of a sudden, you start making some lines. And next thing you know, people are starting to see you differently. You might even become weird to some. The Bible referred to peculiar. But you know what? That's what it takes for the world to see really Jesus in our life. There's got to be something about this. There's got to be a reason you get up on Sunday morning and drive and try to find a place to park, cram into a building. There's got to be a reason. Not just a place to go, because there's other places to go. There's got to be a reason, and the world's got to see it. So this is like the pep rally, and tomorrow's real life. You go to work tomorrow, you go back into the world tomorrow, and they've got to see that you are different. You are different. So here's what Jesus says in His last hours on the earth. He's praying. A lot of people want to know how He prays and what He said. I can imagine the Garden of Gethsemane prayer. I think it went a lot like John records. Jesus said in verse 3 of John 17, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Life eternal. See, I thought life eternal was just salvation. But He says life eternal is not an event. My salvation was an event that happened. It was real. But that really wasn't life eternal. Life eternal was a relationship that began with Jesus when I got saved. And I have, listen to me, I've got heaven on earth. I don't have to wait to get there to enjoy the Lord. I'm supposed to be enjoying Him now. And He used a word that got me thinking about the message today. He used the word that they might know Thee. Talking about God. Jesus was praying to God. He said, Lord, I want them to know You. And if they know You, they're going to know Me. Now, He used the word know. Now, I want you to get this today. The word know in the Bible is an intimate word. Abraham knew his wife Sarah. Adam knew Eve. This is talking about a physical, intimate relationship. We are grouped as a religion. But I want to fight to the end and let people know that Christianity is not a religion. It's not Islam. It's not Buddhism. It's different. Christianity is a relationship. That's why we have terminologies like bride. That's why we have terminologies like groom. That's why we have a relationship as husband and wife. These are the words that the Lord used referring to us. The relationship we have. So knowing that, I thought maybe right here, the end of February, March is around the corner, and it's all going uphill from there. Amen, right? Maybe spiritually we need to make a climb. So the story that came to my mind was over in the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus 33. I'll read you some from 33 and 34. I'm going to start you reading verse number 7 of chapter 33. Watch it with me as we walk through it. I'm going to give you four practical things about relationship. You could use it husband and wife if you would. And you can add it on to your spiritual relationship with God. But I want you to know there's some coalition with those two. There's a similarity with Rochelle and I's relationship and the Lord's relationship with me. Y'all would agree with that, I know. And sometimes our relationship hinders because this relationship is hindered. Y'all would know that, right? Our relationship with each other sometimes is in trouble because our relationship with God is not what it needs to be. Everybody hear me? So watch this. Chapter 33, verse 7. Moses took the tabernacle. Now remember, this was not the tabernacle that was built to worship God in. The tabernacle was a tent. Everybody got a tent? Pup tent? Children of Israel traveled. They didn't have motels. They stayed in tents. Moses' tent was called a tabernacle. It was a tent, okay? Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. It came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent. Did y'all see that? At his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. I believe in corporate worship. That's what this is called. When we come in here, sit and sing together, talk to each other, pastor preaches, you nod. Not to sleep, but you nod. Somebody will amen every once in a while. Maybe you get a hand, kind of, sort of. I'm going to just like make a bunch of signs. And y'all just like, if it's an amen, do that. If it's a no, do that. And we have some, but you do. You don't realize it, but you are always talking back to me while I'm talking. You either, sometimes I say stuff, Brother Wayne, and people's eyebrows will go. And sometimes their face gets like, you can tell, people communicate. But I feel like when I'm seeing this picture of Moses, I kind of feel like that, Bev, that my relationship with God has something to do with your relationship to God too. I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader here. And when I see this, Moses goes into the tabernacle his little personal tent to worship God, everybody else stood up in their doorway. Y'all seeing me? They're all kind of watching him watch God. Now watch this. Watch close. The Bible says, it came to pass when Moses went out, verse 8, into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up, stood every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. It came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle that the cloud pillar descended and stood at the door in the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Remember that pillar that they followed? Cloud, fire, night? Still with them, still moving with them. And when Moses would go into this little tabernacle, this little tent, that cloud would rest right on top of where Moses was. And everybody in their doorways of their tents knew that Moses and God were talking. Now how many of you wonder what they're talking about? That'd be me. I'd like to ease in on that conversation. So Moses is in there, he's talking to God. Watch verse 10. And all the people saw the cloud pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and they all the people rose up, and you say, class, every man in his tent door. They saw their leader worshiping, and the next thing, Letitia, they started worshiping. That's what this is all supposed to be about this morning. Dub stood up here, he picked some songs, we started singing them, and you know what? That should cause you to start worshiping. I've talked to him a time or two about the songs. They usually get the songs worked up a few days before church, and he's singing over them, thinking about them, getting them all ready in his mind. You know what? He's worshiping before he ever gets up here to worship with you. But how many of you, when he starts singing, find yourself starting to worship with him? That's exactly what's happening in the story. Now keep reading. The Bible says this, verse 11. Here's the thing I've never noticed before. I tell you every time I read something, I read it before but I didn't see it. Well, here's one of those things, verse 11. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. I've seen that before. Now later I'm going to read the scripture and it's going to say no man's ever seen God. Right? Is that what the Bible says? But here it says that no man ever spoke face to face. But here's what I found out, Martha. You can speak face to face and not see who you're speaking to. I think when it said nobody's ever seen God, I believe it. In our story, Moses is going to see a piece of God. But when he spoke face to face, I don't think he was able to see God. I don't think God allowed it. But the speaking was there. Y'all hearing me? But watch this. This is the part I never noticed. Not the message, just something for you to ponder. The Bible said he speaketh unto us a friend. Now I ain't going to talk about that with you this morning, but I think that's just an awesome thing. I've got buddies in the world, and we sat down and just have a great time talking. Sometimes me and Randy will go to a little restaurant in Somerset, and they serve very close to Belizean tacos. And me and him will go there and he'll get a Fanta and I'll get a Coke in the bottle and we'll just have a good buddy time. But Kels, when I'm talking to God, I don't feel like he's a buddy. But Moses had the capability to talk to God and it was like a what? Y'all catch that? And voices just started popping in my head saying, didn't Jesus say there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Then he said, there's greater love than no man than this, and a man lay down his life for us. And Jesus might have said this, you're my friends. Whether you understand it or not, class, you're friends of Jesus. Maybe I ought to start being like a friend to him. And we can communicate like a friend. Now, watch this. And he turned again into the camp. So Moses comes out of the camp, but, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. I never noticed that, Patrick. I never noticed that when Moses left, Joshua stayed. But you know what? Josh is trying to get more of God. This is what I'm trying to talk to y'all about this morning. I'm not getting enough of God right now. I want a little more. Maybe it's called revival. Oh, Brother Steve, I'm getting enough. I'm not. I'm kind of feeling like a Joshua. I just want to hang around a little longer. Y'all with me? You know what? Joshua didn't even know this yet. We've not even got near the story of that yet. But Joshua's going to have to be the man that's going to take them people on into the promised land. He's going to have to be the man to divide the land. He's going to have to be the man to conquer Jericho. He's going to have to be the man that follows in Moses' footsteps. He ain't got a clue, JT, what he's about to do. But you know what he wants to do? He just wants to hang around God for a while. Can I talk to y'all practical this morning? Four things, simple. I don't want to talk to you about worship and all that this morning. I want to talk to you about a relationship with the Lord. All of us here this morning that are saved has had a meeting with God. And it was a real meeting. Some got it fixed immediately. Some worked and cried and struggled, but finally got it right. And they know that Jesus is their Savior and is settled in their life. But you know what the problem is? We've not been back up on the mountain in a while. Come on, class. Not we're still talking to Him. We still say, "Preacher, I'm here, ain't I?" I know. But what I'm asking you is, have you been up on the mountain? Have you been up there? Because watch this. Watch this. The Bible says in chapter 34, verse 1 and 2. The Lord said unto Moses, "Hew thee two stones of like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first table." Have you noticed that God throwed it out there twice? This ain't the first time that we've talked about the commandments. These ain't the first stones. This ain't the first time I wrote. Because you broke them. Remember? But now He says, Moses, watch this. Verse 2. "Be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto the Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me on the top of the mountain." I need you, Moses, to do what? Come up where I'm at, to the top of the mountain. Now, y'all can go on and read ahead when you go home tonight, but here's what I want you to remember. When God brings him up there, He sticks him in the cleft of a rock. You ever heard that song? And the Bible tells us that He walked past Moses. And Moses was able to see his hinder parts. He got to see the back of God. And when Moses came off the mountain, they had to put a veil over Moses' face because he had been with God and the brightness was so bright. Now, Moses had been up on the mountain before. How many think that was a great experience for Moses when he went up on the mountain the first time? And the lightning and the thunder and God hand wrote the first word of God with His own fingers. Y'all hearing me? And now Moses has got them. But he got angry. He joined the class that I had this morning. Some of us in my class, we've all agreed that there might be some anger issues there. Moses was one of us. He lost it. He threw and broke them. Y'all remember that, right? But you know what God does? He invites him back up. Does Moses need saved again? Nope. You know what Moses needs? He needs to get that relationship back again. I need to get back in the cleft of the rock again. I just need to get close enough to see you pass by. And I can tell y'all, There's days in my life he ain't that close, Brother Wayne. Can't speak for nobody else here. There's days I'm waiting for an invitation. Come on up. So here's the four things I want you to get today. Number one, if you want to go up the mountain, you want to work on that relationship, there's got to be some information. I'm thinking back to the day that I met the gal sitting on the front row. 40 years this year since we've been married. But I met her way before 40 years ago. I can tell you I met her about 43 years ago, and her and her cousin Missy back there came up the bleachers at the ball game, and my game was already over, and we were sitting there, me and some ball buddies, and I said, "Who are they?" And somebody said, "Well, that's Rochelle Helton." I said, "Has she got a twin?" "No, I don't know who that is. I don't think she's got a sister. Where does she live?" "I don't know, but where, is she in our class?" "Yeah, she's in our class. There's only 200 of us in the class." I hadn't really knew she was in the class, but I got some information. "She's in the choir. She sings in the choir." "She does, yeah. Anything else?" "She drives a Mustang." I seen Brian look up. "Hey." At that time, I drove a Mustang. So I inquired. Got some information. Can I tell you, if you want a relationship with God, you're going to have to get some information. Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me," and what? "Learn of me." Learn of me. If you want a relationship with God, you're going to have to get some information about God. Can I tell you the best place to get information about God is in the book? Here's what Jesus says in John 1. Go there with me. John 1. Y'all know it, but I'm going to read it to you. "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing, anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of man." Who was the Word? Jesus. Jesus was the Word of God. You and I had the privilege of knowing the living Word. That Word was the Word that spoke in the "Let there be light." It was that Word. Ephesians tells us that Jesus had His hand in the creation. You know what the Bible goes on to say in John 1, 14? "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You want to know God? Get the information. The God that this world paints, y'all ready to hear this? Is not the God of the Bible. He's not Allah. He's not Buddha. He's not that God. He's the only God. You notice the Word was capital W? He is Lord. And who Moses was able to come in contact with on that mountain was God. The Word was there. And Moses was there. And God invited him back up again. I don't know about any of you, but I need another trip up the mountain. Just get reminded. And what's helping me more than anything is reading more of this book. Because the more I read this, the more I understand. Everybody's been asking me, I told Sunday school class, everybody's asking me, Brother Steve, what about Ukraine? Is this in the Bible? I said, well, sure it's in the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 38, if you want to get technical. I think the Scriptures always use Gog and Magog as Russia. Ezekiel talked about it. Jesus talked about it. The more you read the book, I'm not afraid, I'm not scared, I'm excited. Because I know what He told me is real. We live in a world where we're seeing prophecy fulfilled before our very eyes. And all that should do is cause us to want to read more so I can know more about Him. So number one, I need information. Number two, I put this down. I need revelation. Oh, Brother Steve, now we're not Pentecostal. You don't think God gives us revelation? Does He not? Go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. I ain't got a lot more. Ephesians chapter 1. I feel like I've been gone a year. Look at verse 17, Ephesians chapter 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You know what God does? When I got information, Susan, about Rochelle, I started thinking. Like, you know the little light? I put down in my Bible the little light bulb. You know the little light bulb comes on? I'm like, I got to get to know her more. I started imagining. Y'all hearing me? I started imagining going on a date. Where would I take her at? What would we talk about? You know the Scripture tells me the more I get information with God, the more revelation He gives me. Because He wants me to know Him. He wants me to know Him. He wants me to have a relationship with Him. Number three, y'all ready for this? Conversation. Moses didn't need to go up on a mountain and sit in a tent. Did he? He conversed with God. I pray, Brother Greg. You pray? I bless my food. Bedtime prayers, morning prayers. All day prayers, Brother Joe. That's what we need today is to keep the conversation going. I don't know the last time I said amen unless I was praying like online or something. I just talk to God now. Just keep the conversation going. And you know what happened with Rochelle and I? I'm kind of bringing you through our dating history. She knew me more than I knew her. But she didn't like what she knew. She had a friend that lived close to where Mom and Dad's grocery store and gas station was. And Rochelle got to meet my mom and dad really before she got to meet me. And her words were, that I heard anyway, her words were, how can his mom be so nice and his dad so sweet and he be such a... I don't know what the rest of it was. But it wasn't such a blessing. Let me tell you what happened to Rochelle and I. Our senior year of high school, we got in a class together. And I started talking to her. Huh? Yeah, I can't tell them. The class was entitled Family Living. I'm just trying to take a class. She's in the class. Well, next thing you know, I got a job working at Hardee's after basketball season. Guess who worked at Hardee's? She worked the front line, and I worked the back line. And we talked through the grill. And sometimes, me back there trying to make a burger, y'all trying to picture it. I'm back there making burgers, Kels, and all of a sudden, I'm behind because a bus pulls in. And she said, bus! And I said, no! And I look back, and she's right beside of me making burgers. And graduation night, Brett, done throwed the hat in the air. I said, would you like to go on a date? 2 years, Courtney, getting her there. 2 years of conversation. And she said, yes, I would. And 41 years later, we're still talking. Barely, but we're talking. So we take trips out of the country, which is kind of like going up the mountain with God again. And you converse. And you talk about things. I want y'all to know something today. Some of you need to work on your relationship with God. You say, Brother Steve, I don't like how your tone is. I'm telling you, you're talking, but you're not spending time. He went up. He got away with God. Y'all hearing me? Me and my wife need to go get away. Yeah, you do. It's a good idea. But listen, you and God need to get away too. I hope somebody's agreeing with this. And your conversation turned into my last thing, and I'm done. I know you say that, Brother Steve, but I really am. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'll close you right here. If they haven't messed with the clock, I'm still on time. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to tell you this, and I mean this with all my heart. Rochelle was very influential in changing my life. I couldn't date her and be who I was before. She told me that. Can't do what you've been doing. And I tried it, Josh. I did. I thought I could get away and she not know. But some of my buddies' girlfriends were friends with her. And they ratted me out. And she said this, Patrick, no more. So here's what I'm going to tell y'all, and I mean this with my heart. You go up the mountain with God, He will transform you. You cannot spend time with God and be the same. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying this morning, class. You can't come and go and be the same. Because anytime you spend time with God, He will change you. Somebody amen that. You will be transformed. Now look what He says in 2 Corinthians 3. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 3. Let me just cut to the chase. The Bible said in verse 14, well, let me read 13. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadily look at the end of that which abolished. So you know Moses come over and told you he had a veil over his face. Now, Paul's drawn a conclusion to that with what Jesus did for you. Now watch this. But even until this day, or verse 14, but their minds were blinded, but until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. When Jesus died, the veil's gone. I can see Jesus face to face now, Dub, and it's not a problem. The veil's gone. Now, when Jesus died, the veil in the temple ripped, and they tried to sew it back. But you can't sew it back. It's done been ripped and abolished. Now watch this, class. But even until this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, it shall turn to the Lord. The veil shall be taken away. You hearing me? You get to where Jesus is. You get to where the Lord is. You go up on the mountain and spend some time with God. Here's what's going to happen, Dub. The Lord is the Spirit, is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, y'all know it. You go spend some time on the mountain, babe, with God. And what you're going to find is some freedom you've been missing. You're all living in this clutched up world, and Lord don't want you to live like that. He says, come to me. You got to come where He's at, Brian. Come up to me. And He says, I will give you rest. There's nothing like rest when you have liberty. I preached places that I could not wait to get out of because it was miserable the whole time I was there. And I preached places where I don't want to shut up because there's so much liberty there. This might be one of those. You're in trouble. Look how he closed. But we all, with open face, behold as a glass of the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image. Y'all seeing this? From the glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The more I look in His face, Bev, the more I see Him in me. Sometimes, Josh, I look into this face and I'm like, oh my gosh, God. How can I be so far away from You? But then when I find myself looking into His face the way I need to, I start seeing how He's changing me, Dave. He's starting to make me more like Him. How many want that? How many in this room need to trip up the mountain? Need a little revival. Need a little getaway. That's what He's... Listen, I got to say free will. Y'all hear me? God can invite you up, Brother Joe, but you can sit right there. He ain't making you climb the hill. But I can tell you this, it'll be worth the trip. Because nobody, Brian's ever come down the same. Let's stand and pray today. If you're in this room this morning and you don't know the Lord, that's what you need this morning. You need to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you've drifted away from God. You've been down on the bottom of the mountain for a long time. Maybe even in the valley. God's been there the whole time, but what you need is a trip up the mountain. Can I invite you this morning? It's as simple as just bowing your head where you're at. It's as simple as coming to an altar. It's as simple as saying, God, I want that relationship again that we once had. Let me pray with you today. Father, Lord, I pray this morning for this invitation. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would work here today. Lord, we thank You for the liberty that we have felt. Lord, we know Your Spirit is in this room. And Lord, I believe this was the message for the hour today. So Lord, my prayer is simple this morning. For those who feel like they need a trip up the mountain, Lord, help them know You're inviting them up. You want to visit with them. Lord, I pray while we sing that Your will would be done right here this morning in Christ's name.